So that would mean quite a strategic shift for a few of the industry.
For sure, players. And especially in terms of investments in all these asset infrastructures.
What would it do to the employment model?
For the industry or for utilities?
For utilities.
This is Business Insights, a podcast brought to you by global strategy consultancy Roland Berger.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Pierre Zamatis, and welcome to Innovation in Infrastructure, our brand new podcast series. I'm very happy to announce that today we have a very, very interesting topic, which is a key topic for the European industry. I'm very happy to have Torsten with us. Torsten is a senior partner and the managing director of our Central European business, and brings in probably 25 years of experience in all the relevant sectors that are relevant for the industry, right?
Thank you, Pierre, for having me. You're right, 25 years.
Amazing. Oh, great to have you. Maybe let's start, Torsten, with an intro on framing the problem. Then, Torsten, why is this even a topic now? Why is it important to talk about the transformation of the European industry? What are the key components that you see here?
For sure. First of all, the industry is at a turning point. And what we see is also there's a clear need for decarbonization. Or to decarbonize, you need energy. Mm-hmm. You need clean energy. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the European production right now, we are by far number one in the world per capita and also installed capacity. We have no natural resources, material and also primary sources. Mm-hmm. That means in Europe, we have a DNA for efficiency, and that's the reason why we need in the future more clean energy, more clean materials.
That's very clear, Torsten, I think. But what are indicators that you see for the state of the European industry?
You could say Europe is losing relevance as a manufacturing hub. And a typical indicator you can use is gross value added. Mm-hmm. And you could say in China has leaped from 20% now to 27%. And in Europe, it goes our way around from 20 to 17. That means overall, we have lost industrial manufacturing capacity, or you could say deindustrialization has started.
And do you also have a view on if this is a shift from Europe to specific countries?
There's definitely what we can observe. There is a shift from Europe to Americas and from Europe to Asia. At the end of the day, the picture is quite simple. You have on one side, you have Americas. Here you have industry and energy. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you have China or Asia. You have energy and industry. And in Europe, as said before, we have no energy, but we have a lot of industry. And that's the reason why you see a shift in both ends, West and East.
So what is it that the European industry could do to regain their competitive position?
I would say if the industry is able to produce products, decarbonized products, it's by far the best positioning you can have in the world in the future. And that's the reason why you need clean energy in terms of electrons, green electrons, and also green molecules, can be hydrogen, can be methanol, can be other derivatives. This is exactly the positioning we need.
Okay, that's very clear. But the dilemma always with clean energy is balancing competitiveness and availability. So how do you see the angle of competitiveness? And the second question to that would be, how much clean energy would we need?
First of all, I would say, if you do a comparison between Europe and Japan, Europe is three times more expensive. And if you do the comparison with US, in some areas, especially in 2022, we had 10 times higher energy prices than US. And at the end of the day, we could manage it. And this is definitely a competitive disadvantage. Now we have to turn it around. And the advantage comes from clean energy, from green energy, from green molecules. And then we have a different positioning. Then we have a different product. We have a clean, green and decarbonized product. Mm-hmm.
But how would the European industry set the right pathway to build out this energy infrastructure that is needed?
For sure. First of all, we need, let's call it, we needed new tectonic. I give you an example. In the North Sea, it's for sure offshore wind installation. Mm-hmm. In the Mediterranean Sea, it's for sure photovoltaic, for example, because it's a sun belt. We need hydrogen hubs for landing infrastructure. And on the coastline, we have anyway infrastructure for landing export capacities, for example, from Middle East, for example, from US, for example, mm-hmm. from South America.
Let's touch upon the landing hubs idea, because I think one of the key interesting elements I would love the audience to know more about is the study you recently published on re-regionalization.
Yes.
So what is this concept about and why do you think this could be a good way forward for the industry?
The re-regionalization is a solution to do not de-industrialize.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the idea is to say, what's my value chain? Where can I produce the following parts and components? And what's the best place to produce? I give you a couple of examples, or let's say I give you one example.
Mm-hmm.
Auto industry. You have a production of batteries. No one is willing to produce batteries with non-green electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end, you are producing bodies. And the question goes in that direction. Where can you go for a marriage between a battery and a body? Typically, you have it combustion cars. It's in mm-hmm. one place.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in such a new value chain, you have to find a place where you have both mm-hmm. batteries and bodies, and typically it's coastline because you need offshore wind capacities, green electrons to produce.
So would that mean we would move from the century-old model of industrial centers to a more distributed version?
I would say at the end it's a mixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mix. A mix between we have areas where we say we have a full production, we can cover the value chain from, let's say, cover the value chain with different production components.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, we can spread out in different regions.
If we move into this new setup of how the energy industry will be pieced together, what do you think are the implications for the traditional industry players, for governments and so on?
That's a good question. I would say there is a complete different view. Nowadays, you have classical electric grids, or you have classical grids, you have classical pipes. In the future, you need more grids. You need different pipes, dedicated pipes for hydrogen, for example. That means huge investments in grids and pipes in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to have a landing infrastructure. That means you have PPAs with other nations, with other suppliers.
Public, this is private.
Definitely, can be public, yeah. Private, but can be also, let's say, direct investments.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to cover the full range of services, you have to be a player in Europe. You have to be a player in a single country, but mm-hmm. you have to be also an international player, or to organize it, to orchestrate it.
Okay. So that would mean quite a strategic shift for a few of the industry.
For sure.
Players.
And especially in terms of investments,
yeah.
in all these asset infrastructures.
What would it do to the employment model?
For the industry or for utilities?
For utilities. Because I think this is where the most decentralization will happen.
I would say at the end, it's a mixture between centralized and decentralized structures.
Mm-hmm.
Photovoltaic wind onshore is definitely a decentralized structure. If it comes to offshore wind parks, if it comes to landing infrastructure, is a centralized infrastructure. That means you have to play with both kinds of infrastructure in the future. I would say not every utility will or can tackle it.
Mm.
It will be a mixture between municipalities, regional ones will go for onshore wind, photovoltaic, and PPAs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the big players, the international players, they will cover also landing infrastructure and global collaborations.
Okay, so collaboration becomes a key element in this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. I would say collaboration is anyway key in the future.
Mm.
I would call it, we need a clear focus for different types of utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have a clear focus, you have to have collaboration models, And in addition, we need speed, otherwise our industry will run away.
How can we get this speed on the ground? The most important question.
For sure. Beside the question of speed, we need the right capabilities. Mm-hmm. And to have all the capabilities on board for international, for national business, mm-hmm. for centralized and decentralized business, this is really a tough exercise.
This shift sounds like we need a lot of enablement and a lot of maybe different infrastructure around it, also from a policy point of view. So I know in your study you touched upon the key enablers that are relevant for this new world to happen. Can you give us a brief about what are these enablers and how do you see them?
First of all, on the infrastructure side, we see or we need higher speed to ramping up renewables. Mm. This is on one side regulation, on the other side permitting and also investment. That means we have to decomplex all these permitting structures in the future. Otherwise, we cannot speed up. Otherwise, we cannot ramp up in such a scale. The next thing is on the technology side, adaptation of technologies to reach net zero impact. I'm always saying if we have existing technologies, please use it. Mm-hmm. And the next generation will be more efficient, but don't wait mm-hmm. until you get the next generation. Mm-hmm. We need mm-hmm. also the scale in technologies. The third thing is a mobilization of skilled labor. Mm-hmm. Coming back to my first point, mm-hmm. we need the capabilities for the different areas, as said before. And then we need focused funds to invest and to ramp up and to accelerate these assets in the future. And by far, I would say the crucial point is what's the holistic view in term of impact? I would say right now we are missing a view like how can you decarbonize the industry and which technologies are needed? Mm-hmm. Can be a combination of efficiency, can be a combination of hydrogen, mm-hmm. can be a combination of wind and photovoltaic. Mm-hmm. Right now, I have the feeling everyone is looking quite focused mm-hmm. and there is no holistic view to mm-hmm. look at decarbonization aspects of the industry. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, the classical things like easier permitting and a more European view.
If I want to touch upon the technology topic again, you said, let's not wait for new technologies to come. Let's use what we have.
We have existing ones.
What are the technologies you're referring to that you think are crucial?
I would say, first of all, the classical things like offshore, we are quite good equipped and we have everything we need. Onshore technology is more or less the same. I would say photovoltaic right now is more a commodity mm-hmm. we can easily use. And in Europe, we have a lot of knowledge around energy efficiency. I would say we should invest in storage capacities. Mm-hmm. In CCUS, we are not quite good. We mm-hmm. should invest in battery capacities. Mm-hmm. And in addition, electrolyzers for hydrogen production. This is definitely a field where we should invest.
Okay, interesting. This then would already lead to my next question, which was about what are the new value chain steps that you would see being built up in Europe that we don't have today? Is it doing the manufacturing? Is it the production of these technologies? Is it R&D and research? Where would you see Europe's strongest fit in there?
I would say we are quite good if it comes to mechanical engineering parts. Mm-hmm. Typically, we have it in onshore and offshore wind. If it comes to electronics, if it comes to battery and electrolyzers, we are missing raw material. Mm-hmm. And here, I would say the major innovation is to set up cooperation with countries they can deliver raw material. Mm-hmm. And perhaps it's a production in our country or it's a production of equipment and component in our country, in assembly, for example, in Europe.
Okay, interesting. Which again touches up on your point, collaboration is going to be key for the European industry going forward.
But first of all, you have to have a clear focus. And then we are discussing collaboration. And last but not least, speed. I can repeat myself.
Yeah. Okay, with this massive transformation ahead, what are the top two things that you would say need to be focused on to get this moving?
For sure. I would say we have two areas. One area is cables and pipelines. Mm-hmm. Cable can be different levels of electricity. pipelines, gas, LNG for sure, and also hydrogen pipelines. Here is more or less the question, how can we accelerate permitting processes and how can we decomplex such things? Mm-hmm. On the other end, we have all the technologies. And here I would say we have everything, but how can we speed up our capacities? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the performance of the companies right now, I would say there's room for improvement to speed up or to accelerate or to double the size of these companies. And this is the crucial point, industry policy and how can we push for.
Let me touch upon the permit part, because after the permit, the real fun begins when you actually need to go into the construction. And so far, historically, if we look back at infrastructure projects, there's always usually a delay. Sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller. But what you laid out sounds to me like we can't tolerate having delays in deploying of infrastructure. So what are your thoughts on that? How can we tackle this problem?
The question is, how can we industrialize projects? Mm-hmm. This is a key question at the end of the day. Industrialized processes, typically, you need projects like a conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. More like a manufacturing process, and therefore you need a platform who is able to track. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. If you send a parcel, let's say in that way, if you send a parcel via DHL, typically you can track and trace where is my parcel right now. Mm-hmm. If you have different projects, you need exactly this functionality. Mm-hmm. You see exactly in which status my project is. You can easily choose or you can easily switch and move capacities from A to B. And this is exactly what we need.
That sounds like the entire digitalization part is a key component of this.
Sure.
How do you see
that? For sure. It's the platform is a digitalized solution. At the end of the day, you have all the processes, as said, industrialized. Mm-hmm. Like you know exactly in the industrial process, where is my material? Where is my car? Where is my machinery? And all these things, and this is exactly what you need in such a process. Okay. Industrialization of projects.
Europe has been known over the past centuries for exporting a lot of knowledge and a lot of products. If you maybe take a future perspective, like 20 years from now, and this deregionalization has happened, what do you think are the key elements that Europe exports?
At the end of the day, energy is a commodity. And what we can create is we have a value chain. And in the value chain, you have a decarbonized end product. Can be steel, can be cement, can be chemical products. This is exactly what we need. And this is a differentiator on a global level.
From your experience working with many of the European industry players, do you see active pursue of this action by the major industry players, either in them moving into converging industries that are relevant for this new setup or proactively trying out concepts of deregionalization? Or is this something not touched yet at all?
No, I see exactly what you are saying. The question is, do we have a partner? Is there a utility who can offer all electrons and molecules? Is a utility able to export from different places in the world and offer a nice pricing and a system? And sometimes we see that industry players are moving backwards. That means fully integrating into the value chain of an energy company. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a PPA. Sometimes they are going into power purchase agreements. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are using independent power producers. Sometimes they see different players in the portfolio. It's really a colorful mix right now.
And if we take one step back on a global view, how do you see this transformation that obviously the European industry now needs to do? Do you also see this in other regions of the world?
I said before, Americas, China, and Asia are different markets. But what we see is the American utilities are looking more for export strategies. Mm-hmm. Australia, for example, is the same. And China, it's more like tech and components. Mm-hmm. They say we want to be the leader in electrolyzers. US saying we want to build up a hydrogen hub and let's export the capacity we have to Europe, for example. Mm-hmm.
Great. Then to wrap it up for the audience in terms of what are the top things that if I'm a industrial player in Europe right now, what is it that I need to do? And at the same side, if I'm a policymaker in the European Union, What are the top three things that I should focus on?
Very good question. First of all, as an industry player, I would ask the question, what's the role of decarbonization for my products and services? Mm-hmm. The second question will be, how can I get decarbonization inputs like electrons, molecules? Who is the right provider? And if I cannot get it, is regionalization or deindustrialization the right answer? Mm-hmm. And perhaps for sure, it's also a question, do I have the right capabilities? Mm-hmm. On the politician side, on the regulator side, I would ask the following question. How can I create future business? How can I create value for my region? Is there a need for investment? Mm-hmm. Should I invest in infrastructure? Can be base infrastructure, can be cable pipeline, can be zones mm-hmm. and all these things. And at the end of the day, how can I create tax and hopefully mm-hmm. employment for my region?
Excellent. I think that's a great summary to sum up the topic. For everyone that's interested in more details, the study is online at our website. And thank you so much, Thorsten, for taking the time today.
Thank you, Pierre.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Business Insights by Roland Berger. Roland Berger is a leading global strategy consultancy. Our full-line service portfolio spans across all key industries and business functions. Established in 1967 in Munich, we are renowned for driving transformation, innovation, and business performance around the world. For more information, visit our website at rolandberger.com.